O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. With those words, the psalmist begins the eighth psalm. Even the name of the Lord is powerful, it's majestic. We've been singing about that here this morning. In Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare had Juliet ask the question, what's in a name? Names are important to us, aren't they? One of the first things you ask somebody you might meet is, and what's your name? My name is so-and-so. One of the fun activities for parents to be is to choose a name for that new little one that's going to come into their family. Names have associations. Names have meanings. And the meanings of names were even more important back in the ancient days than what they are today. More than just a label of identification, names were also an expression of the essential character of its bearer. God's name is especially significant. There are many verses in the scriptures that talk about the name of God. Of course, Psalm 8:1 is just one. I'll give just a few more. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Those who know your name will trust in you. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. For the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Through your name, we trample our foes. In your name, I will hope, for your name is good. Save me, O God, by your name. These are just a few, and many more examples could be given of references in Scripture referring to the name of God. Often in Scripture, often in the Old Testament, the name of God is used really as a synonym for God himself. It's an object of worship. It's an object of awe, of love. God's name is holy, set apart, special. The prophets spoke in the name of the Lord. Amos prophesied, Peter later repeated in the book of Acts, that God visited humanity to take out of them a people for his own name, for his own possession. When the psalmist announces God's presence, he writes, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. It's a synonym for the presence of God himself. When protection is needed, the psalmist pronounces this blessing. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. When God attests his power, he swears by his own great name to accomplish his purposes. All of us know that God wants to be known by us. He wants a relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know him. And of course, he knows you very well. We humans have this built-in need, a built-in desire to know God. Some people aren't sure what that desire is about, especially those who would like to think there isn't a God. And so they have to try to plug that need with something else. But we have that within us. It's hardwired within us, a desire to know God. And of course, the most wonderful and most telling method by which God has revealed himself to us is through Jesus. We read in John 17, verse 6, words that Jesus prayed. He said, I have revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. And a few verses later, he said, I have made your name known to them. Jesus Christ is proof that God lives up to his name. Many names. Way back, Alexander the Great, after a successful military campaign, he was known to reward soldiers who had been particularly brave and to punish those who maybe had shown cowardice. On one occasion, while they were celebrating a victory with his generals, Alexander's guards dragged a young soldier before him. The man had been charged with deserting his post and was now to receive Alexander's sentence. The automatic penalty for such an offense usually was death. Well, for reasons known only to him, this time Alexander hesitated. He looked down at this young soldier who was trembling before him, and he asked him a simple question. I think he already knew the answer, but he asked this question. He says, soldier, what is your name? Well, Alexander, the young man whispered weakly. What is your name? Alexander asked again, his voice rising in anger. Alexander, the young man repeated ashamedly. In a flash, the great ruler was upon him, grabbed him by the collars of his tunic, and pulled him in front of him, and he said, "That's my name." And then in a softer tone, he continued. He said, "Soldier, you shall live. But from this day on, you must either change your conduct or change your name." Alexander's point was that if the soldier was to share his name, then he must behave in a way that was consistent with the ruler's character and reputation. In the same way, Jesus Christ was consistent with the character and attributes of God the Father. Many of the names that were used for God back in the Old Testament were applied in the New Testament to Jesus. The visible Son fleshes out for us the names of the invisible Father. Jesus is proof that God does, in fact, live up to his names. Sometimes people ask, what does it mean to believe in God? I think one of the ways we could answer that is by saying to believe in God is, number one, to acknowledge that God fulfills all of the names that have been given to him, and number two, then to respond accordingly to that fact that God does fulfill those things. And so if I claim that God is my provider, but I don't trust God to provide what I need, can I really say that I believe that? If I claim that the Holy Spirit is my counselor, but I never go to him for counsel, can I really say that I believe that? If I claim that Jesus is my redeemer, but I just cannot accept the fact that Jesus has truly paid the price for all of my sins, I'm free. I'm freed from the burden of my sins. If I can't believe that, then can I really say that, yes, Jesus is my Savior? To believe in God means to acknowledge that God fulfills all of his names and then to respond accordingly. Sometimes we talk about using the name of God in wrong ways, misusing it or using it in vain. We misuse God's name when we treat it very lightly or jokingly or carelessly. In a moment of shocked surprise or perhaps anger or maybe just thinking that somehow it adds emphasis to what we say, to use any form of the name of God, including slang terms like gee, jeepers, gosh, golly, the man upstairs, and so on, that is a slap in God's face. Really, it's not respectful. It's treating him like you'd treat your buddy or your close friend or something maybe, but not the way that you would want to treat God. We also misuse God's name when we profess his name, but we don't live up to that profession. When we, you know, I am a Christian, but I live like a son of the devil, That does not honor God's name. In 1 Timothy 6, the Apostle Paul gave Timothy a long list of things to do for godly living, concluding with the comment, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. So in other words, when there's sin, when we don't live in the way that we should, it actually reflects on God's name. God's name is to be treated with reverence and with awe. Now, when we pray, many times we will end our prayer. Pastor Eric did it this morning. He ended his prayer with, "In Jesus' name." What does it mean when we pray at the end of our prayer, "In Jesus' name"? That is not a way of saying, well, that's about it for now, over and out. It does have a meaning. There is meaning behind it. In John 14:13, Jesus said, "I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." To pray in Jesus' name is to ask on Jesus' behalf and by his authority and according to his will. It is to pray prompted by the mind of Christ in keeping with Jesus' character and consistent with God's word, with a desire that glory be brought to God the Father. Now, it stands to reason, does it not, that the more that we know about God, the more that we know what God is capable of doing, the more that we know his will, the better we can pray. I mean, if I have this vague sense, well, there's this supreme being, all I know is that he's there, but I don't know what he could do for me. I don't know what he could offer for me. I won't know very much how to pray other than help. You know, if I don't know the specifics of who God is, it's hard for me to pray intelligently. In fact, it's hard for me to have a lot of faith because, okay, God is God, but what does that mean? What does that mean for me? In Exodus 33, Moses said to God, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I can know you and continue to find favor with you." So there's a way in which as we get to know God better and better, our relationship with him grows and we can please him more. The more that we learn about the names and descriptions of God, who he is, what he is like, what he can do, the better we can pray. Now, in the Bible, there are three, and specifically the Old Testament, there are three primary names for God. Elohim, which means the strong one. Jehovah, the self-existent one, or the great I am. Moses by the burning bush, you remember. And Adonai, sovereign, master, or Lord. Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai. Now, when you read your Bible, you probably don't find any of those names in your Bible. And you say, what's up with that? Most of our English translations will tip you off which name of God is being used in the original text. And so, for example, if you read God with a capital G and a small O-D, that is typically the translation of Elohim, the strong, faithful one. If you read God or Lord, all capitals, it's usually a translation of Jehovah, the self-existent one, the great I am. And if you read Lord, capital L, small, O-R-D, usually it's the translation of Adonai, sovereign master or Lord. You might find that interesting, maybe you don't. But did you know, you might be surprised how many other names of God there are in our Bibles, all of which help us to get to know God better. Now this morning, I came across a list. And I'm going to give you maybe half the list this morning, of descriptions or titles or names for God. And I'm going to start with names, titles, and descriptions for God the Father. And I just kind of soak in these and think, let this expand your knowledge of who God is. Now specifically for God the Father. A faithful God, a forgiving God, a refuge for his people, a sanctuary, a shade in the heat, a shelter from the storm, a source of strength, a stronghold in times of trouble, builder of everything, commander of the army of the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, eternal King, Father of compassion, God Almighty, God Most High, God my Maker, God my Rock, God my Savior, God my stronghold, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of all comfort, God of truth, God of strength, great and awesome God, he who blots out your transgressions, he who comforts you, helper of the fatherless, he who is able to keep you from falling, Holy One, I am who I am, King of glory, King of heaven, Lord Almighty, Lord is peace, Lord is my banner, Lord my rock, Lord of kings, Most High, my advocate, my comforter in sorrow, my confidence, my hiding place, my hope, my light, my mighty rock, my refuge in times of trouble, only wise God, our dwelling place, our help and our shield, our judge, our refuge and strength, shepherd, the great King above all gods. Now I'm going to give you some names and descriptions and titles for Jesus the Son. Alpha and Omega, Anointed One, Apostle and High Priest, Author and Perfecter of our faith, Author of life, Author of salvation, Branch of the Lord, Bread of God, Bread of life, Bridegroom, Chief Cornerstone, Chief Shepherd, Christ Jesus our Lord, Christ Jesus our hope, Firstborn among the dead, Firstborn over creation, Friend of tax collectors and sinners, God's Son, God's High Priest, Great Light, Great Shepherd of the sheep, My hiding place, My hope, I'm sorry, I skipped to the wrong place, Head of the Church, Holy and Righteous One, Hope of Israel, Heir of all things, Holy Servant of Jesus, Horn of Salvation, Image of the Invisible God, Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord, Jesus Christ our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, King of Kings, King of the Ages, Lamb of God, Light of the World, light for revelation to the Gentiles, Lord of lords, Lord of the harvest, Lord of the Sabbath, man of sorrows, master, mediator of a new covenant, merciful and faithful high priest, messenger of the covenant, Messiah, morning star, my friend, my intercessor, physician, prince and savior, prince of peace, ransom for all men, refiner and purifier, righteous judge, righteous one, rock eternal, savior of the world, son of man, son of the living God, son of the most high God, teacher, the Amen, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star, the exact representation of God's being, the good shepherd, the head, the last Adam, the living one, the living stone, the Lord our righteousness, the one and only, the radiance of God's glory, the rising of the sun, the stone the builders rejected, true bread from heaven, the true light, the true vine, the truth, the way, the word, wisdom from God, wonderful counselor, word of God, word of life. And finally, just a few of the names and titles and descriptions of the Holy Spirit. Breath of the Almighty, Holy One, Holy Spirit, Seal, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of grace and supplication, Spirit of justice, Spirit of our God, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the sovereign Lord, Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the gift, voice of the Almighty, voice of the Lord. Again, that list is far from complete. I read for you 155 names, descriptions and titles of God, and there's probably at least another that times that many that I could have included. My challenge for you this morning is to get to know the names of God. Maybe you want to do a study of some sort and just start collecting names of God and then think about, and what does that mean for me? What does it mean for me that my God is like this, offers this? I can pray to him knowing that he is this way. Resolve that you will be more conscious of the descriptions of God and his names and their meanings as you read your Bible. Get to know his names, ponder what each one means and adds to your understanding. Resolve that you will seek to get to know God better and better. Do not be satisfied with how much you know God today. I don't care if you've known him for 70 years, you can know him better. You can know him better. Resolve that you will hold God's name in highest esteem, believing more and more that God is who he says he is according to all of his names. Resolve that your life, through the power of the Holy Spirit within you, will match the words that you speak and the beliefs of your heart. The names of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. There are so many things there that guide us and change us and inform us just help us, and not the least of which is all of the names that we have for you. God, we want to get to know you better and better. We don't want to be satisfied with how we once learned to know you, because there's so much more. You are God. And so give us this unquenchable thirst to know you better. Help us to understand your names, all that adds, all that means. Help us to use your name in all reverence and holiness. Help us to know what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, and to not just do that sort of unconsciously, but to do it with deliberation, realizing the power and the significance of what that means. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for all of your names. We love you, Lord. We bless you.